Hey, everybody. Welcome to Vikings Report with Drew and Ted. Sadly, our partner in crime, Chris, cannot be with us tonight. Again, with the duties and responsibilities that prioritize this show, I don't get it. He's going to get a counseling statement. It's going to affect his performance report at the end of the year, but we roll on.
How you doing?
All right.
Do you have a seat over in that chair, please?
Yeah, please sit down.
Put your hands up top so I can see them.
Drewster, how you doing tonight, brother?
Doing fantastic, Ted Glover. I am doing fantastic. Really looking forward to going over our first defensive position, Ted. We finally finished up the offense. Tonight we start on the defense.
Yeah, we wrapped up the offense last week, episode 126. Our last couple episodes have been kind of abbreviated, truncated, if you will, because we've had free agency kicking off. We've had a couple of live shows. Go check those out. We've really enjoyed that, but we managed to get the offensive side of the ball done thanks to the almost effortless abilities of one Ruby Toonces the Talking Cat. Ruby, are you out there? Can you say hi to us this evening? How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just working on my 59th post-trade draft.
Are you really? So how many trades have you had the Vikings make so far?
Six.
So they've got six first-round draft picks now.
Well, are you retarded?
Yep, sure do.
Nice. That's good. That's super. So now they have no draft picks in the, 2025, 26, 27 drafts, I'm assuming, but they've got six first-round draft picks now.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's pretty good. That's realistic. I think that's going to happen.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Super Bowl homeboy. Super Bowl homeboy.
That's right. That's what I want to hear. That's what we want to hear. We're the most exciting team in football right now, man. I mean,
she talked about the trade. The Vikings did make a trade. We're going to talk about that. Had no players involved, but it may portend another $5 word I just threw out. That's
what does that mean?
Okay, to portend is something that indicates something bad is likely to happen in the future. It's like an omen, yeah? It's maybe you have a foreboding that portends some bad happening.
Yeah, we got a lot we got to talk about. We got that trade. We got the defensive tackle position like you talked about as we continue our positional analysis. For offseason, we got some other news we got to talk about. Some news around the preordained King of the North, if you will. Whatever.
Long live the King.
But yeah, folks, if you would, before we get going, if you would, follow us on Purple Pain Forums. That's purplepainforums.com. That's our home on the internet for our show. It's a great Vikings message board. Kind of a smaller community than you would find in your typical Twitter or some of your Facebook groups, but what they lack in quantity, we make up for in quality. Just great group of folks, great topics, great conversations, purplepainforums.com. And like, subscribe to the show. Dude, we're over 25,000 subscribers now. I still can't believe that. Can you?
I cannot believe it, Ted. It's worked out really well. Keep liking and subscribing, though. We need more subscribers. Is that Sir Francis of Bloomington?
That is St. Francis of Bloomington. Hallowed be thy name.
This summer was a particularly special one in Mankato, and even the heavens seemed to sense it. The summer of 72, the return to Minnesota of Francis Asbury Talkington.
It is the team that I most want to play on. This is where my heart is. My closest friends in football have been always right here. Coming back now, I see a team that was growing then, and I want desperately bad to just contribute something to this football team in a positive way.
Big shout out there. I was watching a game with Fran in it 2 days ago.
Yeah, which one?
This was one against the Falcons in Atlanta when he hit Sammy White on that deep pass. It was at Fulton County Stadium sometime in the 70s. But I was watching it with Ruby. I go, you notice the screen? There's no clock. There's no graphics. There's no yellow first down line. There's no blue line telling you how many yards to go. Nothing. You had to keep track of that stuff on your own.
You kind of had to pay attention.
If they came up on third down and you didn't pay attention, you don't know whether it's third and 13 or third and four. They didn't put it on the screen. You had to know as you're watching it. You know what? And it felt more comfortable with me without the graphics.
If you missed the opening kickoff of the game and you kind of turned the game on while it was going on, it took you two or three plays to figure out what was going on until like a punt or the announcer said, hey, at that, and that'll be a first down for Minnesota or for whoever their opponent is. All right, okay, it's first down. Let's go from here. Still had no idea what the score is unless you were listening to the radio on the way in and before you could turn the TV on. Speaking of throwbacks, we're going to pay a quick tribute to somebody here in a minute. But before we do that, brother, what time is it?
Ted?
Yeah.
I'm cooler than you are. So why don't you get Chris Gates back in here and light this candle?
He's right. Give Gates an F on a report card and light this candle.
So am I supposed to say both parts?
Yeah.
No, just say, Gates would say something here and then just go resume the countdown. I don't know, something funny.
Gates would say something here and then just go resume the countdown.
Resume the countdown.
All right, I'm cooler than you are. Why don't you fix your little problems and light this candle?
He's right. Let's light this candle.
He surely is. Light the candle.
Yes. Resume the countdown.
Yeah. We always love that part.
All right.
Right when we got it down, as a four-piece got the countdown, and Chris leaves, and we're going to have to start all over again.
Oh, hey, I got stuff to do. I got to work.
What's with work, Ted?
I don't know. I think whatever, man. Change your schedule or quit. Get a new job. Whatever.
What are we at, 127?
Episode 127.
Damn.
Yeah. Wow. Episode 127. We are rocking and rolling. Yeah. This happened kind of a little while ago. I don't really think we ever paid proper tribute to it. I think we might have mentioned it on a live show or whatever, but longtime ESPN anchor and sports reporter Chris Mortensen passed away. And he was kind of one of the last throwback guys. I remember back when ESPN was in its heyday with guys like Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann doing sports.
Right.
Before Patrick went off and did his radio show and Keith Olbermann became your crazy aunt that lived in a shoe at the end of the world. Back when it was just a great network, and Sports Center was like, you didn't miss Sports Center and you didn't miss NFL Sunday Countdown. They had almost around the clock must-see TV. Chris Mortensen was in the center of that.
Sure.
You know, he had the breaking news. He was the Adam Schefter before Adam Schefter. He sadly left us a couple weeks ago, and rest in peace to one of the last of the OG ESPN guys that just gave you the news with none of the fanfare and flair and the yelling and the screaming that you see on ESPN today. I'm going to miss guys like that a lot.
Very sad to hear about that. I know he's been battling health injuries for quite a while, Ted, the cancer and everything. But he was one, like you said, the originals. Mm-hmm. When I start watching Chris Mortensen, it was probably early 90s. He's so professional, and he brought you all the news without any weirdness involved to it.
Yeah,
he was right in there with Stu Scott. You didn't miss any of those guys.
Yeah.
It got to a point where I listened to about six people in my football world, and Mort was one of them.
Yep.
Mort was definitely one. Then he got sick and had to take some time off ESPN. Then he came back, and him and Schefter were doing their thing. Just saddens me, Ted. That's how I felt when we lost Kurt Gowdy, and it's never easy because the newer people coming out I don't care about as much.
Guys like Mortensen are just about gone, man. I don't know that you can really think of any. Rich Eisen maybe to a degree, but over on NFL Network. But, yeah, he's one of those old ESPN guys that you really like from back in the days. Rest in peace, Chris Mortensen. You will truly be missed. The type of reporter that you are is someone that is sorely needed in this day and age. And I hope people that are going through J school now look at the example you set and say, I want to be like Chris Mortensen. So,
well said, Ted. Well said. Thank you.
All right. There was some Vikings news that we need to talk about. You know, the Vikings have been really active in free agency for the first time since Kwesi Adofo-Mensah took over as a Vikings GM. And hired Kevin O'Connell as the head coach, had some cap issues. They really couldn't do a whole lot the first couple of years. We talked about the first few moves in our first two live shows right after free agency, so go ahead and check those out. The latest move we haven't had a chance to talk about was a few days ago, going over on about a week now by the time this show airs, but they were involved in a trade with the Houston Texans. They got another first-round pick, Drew Bunting.
Wow.
That was something else, wasn't it?
Right when we think it's all slowing down, you get hit with this trade.
I was on my way to North Dakota, driving to North Dakota to pick up my mother to move her down here to the great state of Illinois. We don't pronounce the S here in Illinois. but some of you chuckleheads do. But anyways,
today's big question: why do some Americans pronounce this state as Illinois?
As a kid, I distinctly recall having my own attempt corrected by my father, who told me the proper pronunciation was Illinois.
And since I moved to the state in 2016, I found that Illinoisans would agree with him. Of course, the word Illinois is spelled with an S, but then so is debris. And do you know what Illinoisans and debris have in common? They can both often be found at Montrose Beach. But also, they came from a language that specializes in silent S's, French. So to recap, some of us don't pronounce it like the French, none of us pronounce it like the natives, and all of us are completely and utterly a little bit wrong.
This trade breaks, and the Vikings get another first round pick. They get pick 23 and right. another pick in the seventh round, pick 232. In exchange for that, Houston gets pick 42, the Vikings' second round pick, a pick in the sixth round, pick 188, and the Vikings' second round pick next year. So right now, as it stands, once the dust settles, the Vikings currently have, in round one, picks 11 and 23. No picks in the second round. No picks in the third round. That third round pick went to the TJ Hockenson trade. So they won't pick again until round four, when that's pick 129. They've got two picks in the fifth round, 157 and 167. One pick in the sixth round, 177, and two picks in the seventh round, 230 and 232. What do you think of that trade, Drew?
So how many second rounders do we have, Ted?
That would be none.
What about third rounders?
Let me see. Carry the one. Again, none.
Okay, we're not going to be busy the second day of the draft for our show, but...
Major announcement. So there will be no day two live show of Vikings Report Rewind because they have no second and third round pick right now.
They could trade up, though.
Yeah, okay.
You never know.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
never know. How do I feel about it? Well, they got to have power to move up and grab that quarterback, and that's more than likely what they're going to do with it.
Yeah.
The whole scenario would work out, I don't want to say better, but if they like either Nix or Penix, I think those guys are going to be available at 11. Then you keep 11 and then pick somebody, a good defensive player at 23. But I think the whole thing is about moving up and grabbing the quarterback, don't you think?
I do too. I've seen some guys do some mock drafts because, you know, they're so realistic.
Oh, spot on. Yeah.
Of the Vikings using pick 11 and 23, you know, maybe even trading down pick 23. And getting a second and a third round pick and getting, you know, a guy like Michael Penix or even Bo Nix later in the first round and recouping that second and third round pick.
If you do 450 mock drafts a week, Ted, you're liable to hit one of them.
No, you're not. See, that's just it. See, see, that's just it. That's you just that's the big hook. It's kind of like playing the lottery. Like if I play the lottery enough, you know, I'm eventually gonna hit. No, you're not. You're not. You're just
you're you know, I've never scratched a lottery ticket.
Really?
Yeah. Scratched a lot of stuff in my life, Ted, but I never scratched no lottery ticket.
I've been frozen for 30 years. I've got to see if my bits and pieces are still working.
Excuse me?
My wedding tackle.
I'm sorry.
My meat and two veg, my twig and berries.
Scratch and sniff. We put lottery tickets in our Christmas stockings here. Well, I mean.
Oh, cool.
I mean, Santa Claus puts lottery tickets in our stockings every year. Grayson?
Could the reindeers fly?
No. Caribou cannot fly.
Santa Claus is not real?
For one, Alexa doesn't know what she's talking about. All right, well, Alexa's an idiot.
Santa is fake. Jesus is real is the sign the Grinch greeted students with today at Osuna Elementary School.
Just saying. All right, so, yeah, I think definitely he got that second first-round pick as ammunition to move up. And kind of the chatter around league circles, if you will, is that it appears that Washington is going to keep pick two. Pick one appears to be a foregone conclusion with the Bears and the getting Caleb Williams because of what they did earlier in the week as well. And so the Patriots kind of seem to be the team that the Vikings would make a trade with, packaging pick 11 and 23 to move up to pick three and to get their guy. Now, it just depends on who Washington would pick, and it would then it kind of fall on who the Vikings would get. Some people say it's Drake May. Some people say it's J.J. McCarthy, Drew. Who are you favoring right now?
real quick before we get into the players, I've heard both sides saying 11 and 23 isn't going to be enough. We don't have to give up picks next year again on that, do we?
I don't know. There'll be a first next year. I think they might have to give up like a fourth maybe. Yeah, I've seen different trade scenarios. I don't think we're really going to know until the trade goes through, if a trade even goes through.
Since we've done the quarterbacks, which seems like, man, months ago, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I have rewatched a lot of J.J. McCarthy. I know I didn't seem real high on him when we did the quarterback breakdowns and stuff, but I watched every Wolverines touchdown from this season, beginning of the season all the way to the end.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
You know what? I'm changing my mind on J.J. McCarthy because, you know what, Ted?
Really?
When you sit down and think, yes, I still think he's got flaws and I still think he needs to work through some issues, but from the neck up, kind of quoting David Stefano in the from First and Skull, and we had a discussion this morning. Dave Stefano says, I love that guy, the way he thinks, the way, you know, he's a winner and all that kind of stuff. And I started thinking about it. That's right along the lines of where I'm at on the thing. Because during the season, every time it was a fourth down, every time it was a clutch play to be made, he never failed. You can't teach that, I don't think. I think some guys got it and some guys don't. But I've watched every snap that guy's taken as a Wolverine, dating back to whenever, when Cade McNamara was ahead of him. And McCarthy has progressed so well from when he started. Like I said, his deep passing was shoddy in 2022. He progressed and he worked on that. And he got a lot better, a lot more accurate on the deep ball in 2023. But you look at the moments like when Bama took the lead in that playoff game, Ted, and they got the ball with like 4 minutes left at their own 20.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have that drive. They couldn't get a field goal. They had to get a touchdown to tie that game. And he let them down on that drive when he had to have it. When you got to have it, McCarthy comes through, and I want the Vikings to take him.
I think every quarterback, whether it's Williams, well, of the top three or four guys, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, McCarthy, even going down the line to Penix, Bo Nix, they all have flaws. I mean, they all do. They're going to be rookies in the NFL. The one thing you hit on is the big play ability, or the big moment ability.
Right.
J.J. McCarthy, the reason I hated him at Michigan.
I pure, straight, hate you. But God damn it, do I respect you.
The reason I absolutely hated J.J. McCarthy at Michigan is because I knew that when Michigan absolutely needed to make a play and J.J. McCarthy was their quarterback, he was going to make a play. And he did.
Right.
And that pissed me off as an Ohio State fan because he was the first guy since before Chad Henne that did that to Ohio State. Honest to God. Like every single time, you're like, God damn it, just stop the guy. I'm sorry. That was just my Ohio State fan coming out. And they couldn't. And Ohio State's had one of the better defenses, and they could. It was so maddening, but that's the guy I want on my team when a play absolutely must be made. And you could talk about deep ball accuracy and you could talk about footwork and blah, blah, blah. All you amateur film watchers off of YouTube and all that garbage. I'm going to trust Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell will make the right call. If it's not J.J. McCarthy, that's fine. I'm going to trust them to pick whoever their guy is. And I've got my guy and it's McCarthy. I kind of hate to say that as an Ohio State fan, but it is what it is. But if they don't pick J.J. McCarthy, then if it's Daniels or May or whoever, I'm going to cheer like hell for that guy because I think it was Colin Cowherd said whoever gets drafted by Minnesota, whoever that quarterback is, probably has the best chances of success because I think Kevin O'Connell is the guy that can develop a quarterback better than any of the guys that are drafting in front of him right now.
When people ask me who's going to be the second best quarterback in this draft is whoever Minnesota gets. Jesus, John. Elite running back, Aaron Jones, left tackle, star receiver, tight end, offensive coach who won a game with Josh Dobbs without a practice. I tend to think if J.J. McCarthy falls to like 10, 11, 12 and Minnesota's around there, and I don't love J.J. McCarthy, I think he'd work.
I don't often agree with Cowherd. But I'll agree with him on that. You're right, Ted. It's the clutch gene. And two things about McCarthy. It's not only he makes the big play with his arm. He also ran for a bunch of huge plays during the last 2 years.
But he's not a runner. He's the guy that can run, but he's not a running quarterback.
Right.
I would argue.
Right. Runs enough to get out of the pocket and make a play.
Yes.
He wants to make a play downfield. He does. And yet there's a one highlight of him running around. I can't remember who it was, against Rutgers or something. And he ran like 30 yards in a big circle like Fran. And then he fired it to the back of the end zone and hit Roman Wilson on a cross. He was crossing the back of the end zone. It was beautiful. But whatever it takes, to the will to get it done, I'm into it, man. I'm into it. And you know what? Him and Blake Corum made everybody more fired up on that offense. Those two guys, because they're team players, they all help each other. I think his leadership skills will be great. Yeah, I wouldn't mind Drake May either.
Now, one thing that makes me think that the Vikings are zeroing in on McCarthy, or he is like on their very short list of one or two guys, is that Michigan's Pro Day is coming up, and both Kwesi Adofo-Mensah and Kevin O'Connell are going to be at Michigan's Pro Day, and then they are going to invite him in for a private workout at a later date. So he's either going to be a top 30 visit, or they're going to do a private workout later. I don't know what the rules are. I'm assuming it's just going to be a top 30 visit. I'm thinking the Vikings are setting themselves up to get into position to draft J.J. McCarthy. Now, they're going to have to go up probably third or fourth, because I think, you know, people have been saying for a while that McCarthy's not going to make it out of the top 10, and I'm kind of starting to believe them. So am I. You know, and for those of you that say, well, he's not worth a top 10 pick, and the Vikings should stay put at 11, and if he's there, great. If not, then they just get whoever. If you are the Minnesota Vikings and you truly believe J.J. McCarthy is the guy that is going to bring you a Super Bowl, and you can develop him to turn your team into a Super Bowl contender, then you go get your guy. And if it's not J.J. McCarthy and it's Drake May or it's Jaden Daniels, the same rule applies. Go get him. Do what you have to do to go get him.
I personally can speak from, I have had some exceptionally legendary private workouts. Let me tell you, Ted. Here's the thing that's funny about fans. If they took J.J. McCarthy, I know some Bo Nix fans that are never going to like J.J. McCarthy, even when he's 3 years down the road. That's what's weird about fans. Just because he didn't do what they wanted to do, they're going to hate him forever, because the Vikings didn't do what, you know, the fan wanted to do. So they don't like him anymore. It's amazing how people react to this stuff.
It'll be funny, because you could have somebody say, I'm a Jaden Daniels guy. And you could have McCarthy and Daniels on the board just as an example, and the Vikings draft McCarthy. And that Jaden Daniels guy will be like, well, the Vikings just made the dumbest move ever. 3 years later, J.J. McCarthy is winning a Super Bowl, league MVP, Super Bowl MVP.
Still hate him.
Jaden Daniels would have won one last year, and this would have been a second one. I mean, it's just, fans are amazing in a stupid way.
Vikings didn't get Harbaugh. People still talking about that.
Yeah. Well, they're still talking about Kirk Cousins leaving. My God, let it go. You know, the divorce has gone through. You wanted to leave Kirk for 6 years. You have. Now you won't shut up about him. It's over.
It's over.
That's right. That's right. It's over.
All right, so the next couple minor-ish moves.
Yeah.
And we'll talk more about Jerry Tillery here when we get to the defensive lineman. The Vikings signed former first-round pick Jerry Tillery and wide receiver Trent Sherfield. They said goodbye to K.J. Osborne, and Osborne went to New England. Good luck to him. Alexander Mattison, who went to the Las Vegas Raiders, and the Pastronaut quarterback Josh Dobbs, who gave us 2 weeks of absolute bliss, is now moving on to the San Francisco 49ers.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, that just happened not too long ago. Well, for us, before we went to record on air. So it's kind of bittersweet. I liked all three guys. All three of them had some memorable moments for the Vikings, but I don't really have an issue with either of the three moving on. Do you?
No. I kind of figured Madison was going to move on. It's kind of weird, the whole K.J. Osborne thing. Remember when he caught that touchdown in overtime to beat Carolina?
Yeah.
That was the moment where I thought, all right, here we go. This guy's fine. He's elevated himself to the next level. And just, I thought for certain after that game, because he had some good games moving up to that, and it never seemed to work out. It never seemed to take that next gear. You know what I mean?
And that, and my next Osborne moment was when the Vikings were down, 33-0 to the Colts at halftime in 2022. He was the guy that sort of sparked that comeback. He had two or three huge catches to open the second half. I believe he caught the first touchdown pass,
right.
And you thought, okay, all right, KJ Osborne, you show us what you got. It just sort of built into this improbable thing that happened, and you thought, wow, okay. And then that's the thing with KJ Osborne. He would show up and make just these tremendous plays in one game and then just nothing for another two or three games. That just sort of has been his track record, I think.
And then we drafted Addison, and he ran by him like Donovan Edwards ran in Columbus. I mean, he ran right by him.
Do we need to? Do we really need to make those kind of comparisons, really?
What was it, 77 yards and then 80 yards in two plays?
Really?
Well, let me think of another example.
Like Beanie Wells? Like, Beanie Wells or Troy Smith, maybe?
Like the wide receiver in the Cotton Bowl when Missouri beat Ohio State.
Is that who Ohio State played?
They didn't care. Missouri and they lost.
I didn't care. Anyways, all right.
I did.
Kind of the offshoot of those picks. Well, it wasn't those three. It was, I believe it was Osborne and Danielle Hunter. Because of those signings, the Vikings now are the recipients of two third-round compensatory draft picks next year. So they got two third-round picks next year. So they don't have a second-round pick because of the Texas trade, but now they have, I believe, three third-round picks.
We don't get those this year?
No, it's for the following year.
That would really help this year.
Would have, yeah. We could have done a live show the night too, but we're not now because we would just sit here. Well, Drew, we're at the end of the second round here on day two of our live draft show, and the Vikings have done nothing. Well, what do we think about that trade that happened 35 hours ago that we could still talk about?
We got that interview going on with Neil Clabo. trying to buy time with it. We got the CFL punter of the year on our show. And the Hamilton Tiger Cats. It's Joe Snow. Joe, tell us about punting up there in Canada.
Hey, let's roll this Edmonton Eskimos clip. Oh, hey, speaking of live draft shows, so yeah, we are going to be live for the first night of the draft. It's going to be an exciting night for the Vikings. Thursday, April 25th. We'll be live, and Christopher Gates has decided to grace us with his presence that evening.
He doesn't have to work like half of it, did he?
Maybe not. He may have to like go clock in, and I don't know.
I miss Chris. He's great.
Punch a widget on his press machine or something, whatever the hell it is he does for a living. I don't know.
I know that you are in financial trouble. This box may be the answer to your problem. If you push this button, two things will happen. One, someone somewhere in the world who you don't know will die.
Okay.
And two.
You see the post he made the other day?
I did not, no.
The Vikings acquired pick number 23 for the Texans so they could send that and pick 11 for Kyle Hamilton. That's what the Vikings did.
That's good.
Yeah, I was busted up, man.
But yeah, we'll be live the first night of the draft. As of right now, I don't think we're going to do a live night two for rounds two and three because the Vikings don't have any picks. But we will be live night one. We'll be there. We'll be all the way through round one. Even if the Vikings move up and they're done after pick two or three, we'll still stick with you for round one to see what everybody else does and have a wrap up. We'll give away surprises, all that kind of good stuff. All right. Speaking of live draft shows. Hey guys, you remember like the 2021 live draft show? You remember like the Vikings? I was really like high on Justin Fields. I thought, hey, it looks like, the Vikings are gonna, it looks like they're gonna get him, and then the Bears traded and got drafted. Yes,
we're gonna get Vera Tucker. We're gonna get him.
Do you remember I was like pissed off as I've ever been for like 5 minutes? You guys had to like talk me down and get me like being not mad. I'm thinking those guys don't need a quarterback. Those guys don't need him. The Vikings are going to get Justin Fields and the Bears traded. I was so, anyways.
I had mentioned like 2 weeks ago, why don't we look at Fields for being our quarter bridge guy?
No, you take away Justin Fields' running ability. And look, and it's a weapon. I'm not saying it's not. But he's essentially a running back. His passing numbers, he's played almost the exact same number of games at this point in his career that Christian Ponder has. His passing numbers are identical.
Are they really?
Oh, they are almost identical. Put this graphic up right now. You're going to go like, holy crap. Now the rushing numbers just completely dwarf Ponder, obviously. But you take those numbers away, and you just put the passing numbers up, and Christian Ponder and Justin Fields as a passer are the same guy.
Wow. Well, you want to be the same guy with Ponder.
Do you remember this time last year? How bad Bears fans were chirping about Justin Fields is going to be the MVP and the new king of the North. This.
Right.
And they're going to run the division and the conference for the next 5 years. That. What happened, Drew?
I've a tender spot in my heart for cripples, bastards, and broken things.
I'm going to tell you right now, Marvin Harrison does not want to play in Chicago.
Justin Fields may be the king of the North, but if it's going to be any North, it's going to be the AFC North, because that dude got traded to the Steelers for a bag of flipping footballs and a baker's dozen from Dunkin' Donuts. That's how much he's got. Yeah, he's
got traded for seeds and stems.
It was a good thing the Vikings didn't trade for him. I don't think it matters who the Bears drafted. Had it been Fields or another quarterback, that I don't think that guy would have succeeded.
It's kind of shocking, because I remember Fields in college almost virtually unstoppable. Much like we talk about Jerry Tillery. Jerry Tillery was unstoppable at Notre Dame, and he's never lived up to his end either.
Yeah, so Justin Fields is out of the NFC North. The king is dead. Long live the king.
Yeah. Every year, Bears do it every year.
Yeah. And now it's time for Caleb Williams to get taken to the wall here in the Seven Kingdoms here in about the next 2 months or whatever. Anyways, now we move on to my favorite offseason segment of the year, our positional analysis. This week it's defensive lineman / defensive tackle. Grayson, tell us all about it.
Hey everyone, it's Ted's grandson Grayson, and now it's time for the Vikings Report off-season positional analysis segment. Hit it, Papa.
Love that kid, man. He's so awesome.
Hit it, Papa!
That's all he does. He comes over now. All we do is talk Vikings football. I just love it. So currently, as we always do, we talk about guys that are currently on the roster. We talk about free agents. And then we go to Drew's big board. And we'll kind of roll free agent and roster guys kind of together, I think, because, you know, we've already mentioned Jerry Tillery a little bit. Already on the roster, they've got Jonathan Bullard, Harrison Phillips, Shaquelin Roy, and Jerry Tillery, who was the one free agent they signed. Drew, what are your thoughts about the interior defensive line right at the moment? And then tell me about Jerry Tillery. What do you like about Jerry Tillery, if anything?
We need more players off the top. Flat out, we need three or four more guys. I don't know where we're going to get them in free agency or the draft, but the room's pretty slim. I mean, Bullard's a defensive end. Tillery played defensive tackle at Notre Dame, and he was unstoppable. The last season, I think he had like 23 tackles for loss and like 7 or 8 sacks at Notre Dame. 28th overall, first round pick of the Chargers, and he's never got to that point. But if you look back at his play with the Chargers, he was a defensive end for them. I remember him playing tackle at Notre Dame. You know, his size is usually meant for defensive end. That's probably why he's out there. But maybe they think about bulking that guy up, putting him back on the inside, because he had a lot more success at Notre Dame than he had since he's been in the pros. But he is a splash playmaker, Ted. He's a great player. He goes from San Diego, and then he goes to the Raiders. Well, he didn't revive his career with the Raiders. You know what? You don't go. Nobody goes to the Raiders to revive their career. You go to the Raiders for a paycheck. Going to the Raiders is not going to the Vikings. So he has been underproven so far in the pros, but I've seen what he can do, and I like that signing. Roy, good. Harrison Phillips, I think he'll be back. We need players, Ted.
Yeah, and then, you know, when you look at the current crop of free agents that are still out on the market, I mean, Tillery was about the only guy that really kind of fits the bill for dudes that Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah is looking for. Fletcher Cox is out there. He's 33, though.
A little long in the tooth for me.
Yeah, yeah. Old friend Linval Joseph is out there, but he's 35 now. I mean, he was good for the Vikings, you know, 6 years ago.
Yep.
James Lynch, former Viking, but, dude, I just don't see anybody out there, do you?
Well, by my count, there's 26 out of, 59 that have signed. Fletcher Cox would probably be good for a year, but that's not building towards the future. I love his style of play, and I love what he's done in Philly, but I don't see him as being a long time man. And if you want a guy just for a year, well, you get a draft pick ready. The same with Shelby Harris, the guy from the Browns. Very good against the run and pass, but he's 33. The only guy I found is Tyre Tart from the Texans. I like that guy.
Oh, do you?
He's meeting with the Bengals a couple days ago. I don't know if they signed him, but the Bengals were meeting with him after they already signed Rankin. So I don't know why they're meeting with another guy that's big in the middle, but Tart is a good player. We need to stop the run in the interior, Ted. That's the problem. Yeah. So I do like him. And then what about the great Rakeem Nunez Roachclip? I like him, Ted. I don't know if he signed anywhere else either, but I think they got to grab somebody, don't they? You need somebody with experience. You're not going to get somebody in the draft and start them day one.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, maybe they're banking on a guy like Roy to take a big step. I thought he played okay when he was in. It seemed like he got more playing time as the season went on at the end of the year, and you kind of started to notice him towards the end of the year as well. The interior defensive line still seems to be a weak spot, and before the Vikings made this trade to get pick 23 from the Texans, it sort of felt that you could make an argument that the Vikings were not necessarily sold on moving up to get a quarterback. For those defense first, last, and always truthers that are still out there that think they may still go defense in the draft and use picks 11 and 23, I would think if they do that, defensive tackle would be a guy they would have to pick at 23. So let's kind of play that scenario out, kind of assuming the Vikings can maybe get a J.J. McCarthy at 11 and then hang around at 23. Let's throw your big board up there. You got one dude, I know you've got Jerzon Newton, but everybody seems to be talking about this Texas cat, Tavondre Sweat. Tell me about this guy, because this dude just seems to take up all the oxygen in the room when people start talking about defensive tackles. Why is that?
Sweat Mountain, he is one large human being. 366?
That is an enormous human being.
That is, Ted. The only problem with Sweat that I see on when I watch his tape, and you can't really tell this on tape, but is his conditioning good enough to be a three-down guy? I don't know if it is, but he's such a fantastic player, you're probably not going to worry about that. Maybe drop him down to try to get him down to 350 or something. He is the best nose tackle in this class by far.
You have said since the Vikings switched to the 3-4 in 2022 with Ed Donatell, that for the 3-4 to work effectively, you have got to have a true nose tackle. And I think he's probably the best guy to do that.
He is exactly the best guy. You got the 3-4, you got to have a Casey Hampton. The Steelers used to control that defensive line with Casey Hampton right over the nose, and Cowher knew it. That was the spark plug that made their defense go. Yeah, you could play him right over the center, which is a zero tech. Or you could play him in a one technique, which is off the shoulder in between the guard and center. I don't want to get too technical, but those are the two places he can play. And you can't single block him, Ted. He has to be double teamed or he's not stoppable at all. The reason you need a dominant nose tackle in the 3-4, really what you're looking at is the 3-4, the three down linemen are eating up the blockers while the linebackers make plays. Cut and drive, that's kind of what it is without getting all off into the weeds. And that's what he does. He'll eat up a lot of tacklers because he can't be single blocked. Can't stop him, Ted.
Yet you have him second overall on your big board behind Jerzon Newton, not a Big Ten boy out of Illinois.
First off, with Sweat, he's so successful because of his upper body strength. That guy throws people around like ragdolls. Okay. The reason I got Newton on there is I basically went, he's not a nose tackle. He's the best defensive tackle in the draft, I think. Sweat is the best nose tackle.
Okay.
In the draft. So I went best tackle, best nose tackle for a 1-2 punch.
So if you're saying 4-3, then you go, you draft Newton. Yes. Don't think twice about it. And if you're going predominantly 3-4, you draft Sweat and you don't think twice about it.
No, you don't think twice about it.
Okay. All right.
That's 1-1 right there.
Okay.
But you're not going to play Sweat, you know, in a standard like Alan Page used to play. You're not going to play him in that.
Gotcha.
He's got one position. Sweat is somewhere in the middle between zero tech and one tech. Three technique and a five technique is where you put Newton. This guy's crazy, Ted, as we roll some footage on him. Some say he's a little undersized, maybe so, but his play on the field makes up for it. He's so dynamic. He's everywhere. He's the best pass rushing defensive tackle in this draft. Him and Byron Murphy are the two best that I saw with my eyes. But Newton is the guy that can do it all. He's the definition of wreaking havoc, Ted. That's Jerzon Newton. Defensive coordinator is going to be able to line him up at all sorts of different positions. He's strong, very quick first move, elite athletically. He'll be the first defensive guy taken, I think.
So after those two guys, you mentioned Byron Murphy. You got him just below those two guys. Yeah. What do you like about Byron Murphy?
Super athletic freak, Ted.
Like me. Like
you
me
are a freak way. Of the week. He had 29 tackles, 8.5 tackles for loss, and 5 sacks. Him and Sweat are the reason Texas got all the way into those playoffs. Couple that with their great wide receivers of Donnie Mitchell and Worthy and Jonathan, I forgot his name, the running back. They were unstoppable defensively. Both of those guys helped each other. Byron Murphy and Sweat helped each other in the draft because they would switch positions. You couldn't deal with both of them at once, and it carried Texas. Very versatile. lined up at nose, lined up at three tech. Murphy even took some snaps out at defensive end.
Now, I don't think this will happen. I'm just going to state that right away. I believe the Vikings acquired this second first-round pick from Houston to move up and draft the quarterback. But let's just play this hypothetical. They stay at 11 or only move up one or two spots without sacrificing pick 23, and they still have pick 23 on the board. Two of your three first-round guys are still there. Let's just say, do you expect Newton to go top 10, probably?
Yes.
What about Sweat?
I expect him to be very close behind.
Okay. Let's just say, again, hypothetically, since this is unrealistic anyways, like a mock draft. This is just another mock draft. Let's just say Sweat and Murphy are on the board, and you have pick 23, and you can pick one of those two guys. You talked about Sweat being the best pure nose tackle, but now you talked about Murphy's versatility all over the line, tackle and end. Who would you pick?
For what Flores is doing, I think he would like to have Sweat.
Okay. I think so, too.
You can not only control the middle, you can eat up blockers. You open up so many lanes for your linebackers to make plays, Ted. It's just,
okay.
It's unbelievable. And even if he's not conditioned to go all three downs, that would be the only drawback. I think Murphy, you can play all three. I love his versatility, Ted. With the Vikings defense, they run the 3-4. That would make me lean towards taking Sweat.
Okay. Oh, hey, look at this. Drew's got a Michigan guy ranked fourth, Chris Jenkins. Huh? Shocker.
Every week you give me that, like, oh, look, Michigan guys. You know why, Ted?
They're good.
When you win the national championship.
Yeah, they're good.
Guys in the top 10.
The only way I could give you crap is because, you know, that's the only way I can give you crap this year.
Say it with me.
Yeah. No,
national
I will not.
National championship.
No, I will not.
Chris Jenkins, best run stopper in this draft. Some guys just know where to be on the field all the time. They see the field. They see the play developing. Well, Jeff Seaman was a master at that. They kind of know where the play's going before it goes there. I mean, as much as I hate to say it, Urlacher was like that. That's why they're always around the ball, because they had really good sense of where the play was going. I guess that qualifies for football IQ. Kind of hate that term, but that's Chris Jenkins. He knows along that defensive line, he knows where the play's going. That's why he's around the football. But he rolls off tackles and tackles people constantly at the line of scrimmage. He's so good on the line of scrimmage that if you want a run stopper, he's the guy to grab. He learned a lot from his dad, who also was a three-time Pro Bowler for Carolina.
Yeah, he's a good player.
I watched a lot of Michigan things off campus, too. They had a little thing where somebody on campus was going around asking the Michigan players questions.
Who is Ted Kaczynski?
He could throw some bombs, let me tell you.
talk about a guy that could avoid the rush for years.
That Ted Kaczynski, he better be careful. They might take his house. Oh, my story. The guy went person to person, and they asked him all the same question. Who's the strongest guy on the Wolverines? Nobody even thought about it. Everybody said within a fraction of a second, Chris Jenkins. Chris Jenkins. Oh, Chris Jenkins. Chris Jenkins is the strongest guy in this team. It wasn't like, oh, it's between Chris Jenkins and this other guy. They all had the same answer. Chris Jenkins is by far the strongest guy. He's going to be killer at the next level.
Now, let's say the Vikings, again, this hypothetical, going back to this hypothetical, Newton, Sweat, and Murphy are all off the board at 23, and the Vikings are still sitting there. You've got Jenkins as a round two guy. Would you consider taking him? If the Vikings said, look, Chris Jenkins, we think is the best player on our board at 23 overall, and we're going to draft him. Would you have a problem with that?
I think that's a little overdrafting for Chris Jenkins.
All right.
The reason he's not the number one defensive tackle of this draft, Ted, is that he doesn't have a lot of sack numbers.
Okay.
And people say he's weak at pass rushing. I disagree, but I know what people are saying, but you got to look at the scheme Michigan ran. They wanted him to stop the run. That's what Harbaugh wants to do. First, you get the run. Then you let your outside guys like Aiden Hutchinson get to the quarterback. Your outside guys will be fine.
So he excels in the role he's asked of.
Yes. The word getting around the draft, so-called experts, is that he doesn't have any pass rush skills. I think that's wrong. He might be a late first rounder. I don't know. I have him as a second rounder just because the other guys are so good.
So now we've got a situation, assuming that we talked about it earlier in the show, assuming the Vikings do what most people expect is to package 11 and 23 and move up way up in the draft to get a quarterback. That leaves them with no picks in round two, round three, and not a pick again until round four, pick 129. Now, you've still got guys like Braden Fisk, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce the Clemson dude's name as second
round
guy.
I want to hear it.
Bob Smith. That's what I'm going to try. The dude from Clemson. I'm just going to go with Bob Smith.
The great Rook or Horhoro. Say it.
There you go.
Horhoro.
Reek or Horhoro.
You know what, Ted? Very loose player. Very loose player. You can tell because he's been a hoe twice.
Oh, my God.
Lagos, Nigeria, comes over here, plays high school football the last 2 years. He is going to be a great player because he hasn't even developed into what he's going to be yet. He has a few injury concerns, but he is developed like 4/10 of what he's going to be. He's one of those guys you draft, and then 3 years you go, I didn't know he's going to be that good, and he just blossomed. Probably going to be more of a 3-tech, 5-tech. He's not a nose tackle, so.
Michael Hall Jr., son of Anthony Michael Hall of Breakfast Club fame.
It is his son.
Does he have a Canadian girlfriend like Anthony Michael Hall did?
No, but he keeps a flare gun in his locker.
From Canada, you wouldn't know her.
And I pulled the trunk, and the trunk didn't work. Chicks can't hold their smoke, Ted. Here's the deal with Michael Hall. Here's the whole thing with Michael Hall thrown out there in a couple sentences. He is kind of a tweener. He's built maybe for a one tech on the inside, maybe not built for a one tech on the inside, maybe not as big on that, but he's not as athletic where you put him outside. So he's in between, so you don't know where to play him. But that's kind of a good problem to have. As you see, he gets to the quarterback really well. I would maybe set him up as a four inside, which is inside the tackle shoulder. He doesn't get good when he's clogged up in the mush, but he is a playmaker that is versatile.
Not a lot of guys can perform well clogged up in the mush, though, if you know what I mean. Some of us can, but some of us just really don't have that kind of extra gear.
There's a GM out there that already has an ideal role to play on his defense for Michael Hall Jr. because he's so athletic.
That seems like the type of guy Brian Flores would love, kind of like he did with Josh Metellus last year. I mean, he had Josh Metellus played eight or nine different spots on defense last year. A guy like Michael Hall, I could envision a guy like Hall with his size and kind of his natural athletic ability. And again, I blame the Ohio State coaching staff for just a lot of things.
Well, they played him at different positions, but it wasn't as versatile as you're supposed to use him. They left him in the middle too much.
I could see them moving him kind of all up and down the line and all the different linebacker spots just kind of based on down and distance and what he can do athletically. If it's an obvious running situation, you know, go from point A to point B and get to the point of attack and make the tackle. If it's an obvious passing down, use your speed around the edge to get to the quarterback. I don't know. That seems like the type of guy Brian Flores would love to get, but you've got him as a third round grade, which I agree with. I think he's like a mid third round guy, but man, the Vikings are in no man's land in the second and third round now if they don't, you know, if they move up and get a guy.
There are a couple people that I don't think a lot of draft or GMs are really high on that might drop. Jordan Jefferson from LSU, great player. That's a perfect name to go to the Vikings, isn't it?
Another JJ. Wouldn't it be great?
Jordan Jefferson?
JJ McCarthy?
Jordan Addison? I mean, come on. Might as well be named Fran Grant. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Exceptional run stopper. You could play him in any scheme. Another guy Flores could work with. Great first step. He can get off blocks. I like the guys that shed the blocks. I'm probably going to catch a lot of from Mekhi Wingo. Everybody loves Mekhi Wingo. I don't. I mean, Mekhi Wingo, some of them have him as a first, second round guy. I didn't even put him in my top 15 because he can't get off blocks. I don't like his size. I don't like his use of his arms. He gets owned too much. He is a splash player, Ted, but he's too inconsistent. Not a bad player, but he's not in my top 15, and people are going to scream about it. You watch. The guy I'm most excited about, you got to go down to number 10, Ted.
Leonard Taylor III out of Miami.
6'3", 305. He is everything you want in a successful defensive tackle.
Do you have him on Vikings watch?
Yes, I do. Because he's athletic. This is a guy you can move to the outside that could be your 3-4 pass rusher. He could be an edge guy. Very easily, he could be an edge guy. His upper body strength is tremendous. He's got the swim move. He's got the roll move. He's got all that stuff. He's got a swim move that Keith Millard would appreciate. He plays nose tackle. He plays 3-technique. He plays 5-technique. A lot of plays at Miami, he looks like a man among boys. The problem is he has plays, and he has moments out there when he doesn't look like he wants to even be there.
That sounds like a coaching and motivation thing.
Yeah. His consistency scares me, but his play, when it's at the top of the line, he is going to be a great player if they can get him to stay motivated.
So if he was a high motor guy, he would be like a first rounder. You think he's got first round talent is what you're telling
yes.
me? All right, give me one more guy that might be a sixth or seventh round flyer type of guy for the Vikings.
I would have to say McKinley Jackson, pure nose tackle from Texas A&M.
Okay.
6'1", 331. He's a nose tackle that also has to be double teamed. He's still got to develop, grow some mass into his body, but he shows the potential of being sweat in a few years. Really good production, 27 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, 2 forced fumbles, 1 recovered fumble, 3 sacks. I see McKinley Jackson. When you watch him on tape, you go, that dude's going to be better when he gets coached up by NFL guys. Some guys are like that. They're going to be better in the NFL than they were in college. I like McKinley Jackson.
Recently departed Danielle Hunter, for example, only had, what, 3 or 4 sacks, I think, this whole time at LSU. Became a beast for the Vikings.
Third rounder.
Yeah, best of luck in Houston there, Danielle. Hope it works out well for you there.
Over the last 3 seasons, there's been 59 defensive tackles drafted. 6 have been first rounders, and that's without any in 2022. So that's 6 between 21 and 23 that were taken. You know what? GMs are looking for different kinds of tackles. Ted, when we were growing up, it was just fat guys, space eaters. Now they're looking for guys that can get to the quarterback. It's evolving. They want tackles that can get to the quarterback. That's why you see a bunch of guys on my list at 295, 297. Back in our day, you couldn't play nose unless you were 330. But the NFL wants a different breed of defensive tackles. They want quick guys that can split the gap, get to the quarterback, chase guys down on the perimeter. Defensive tackles never used to do that. Alan Page was the only one that did that.
Yeah, and he was league MVP because of it. So it'll be interesting with no pick in the second or third round. Get familiar with some of those guys towards the bottom of Drew's list. And like he said, the guy he's got on Vikings watch, one Leonard Taylor III. I'm going to go watch a little bit more of his highlights and see what I like and what I don't like. All right. Well, that'll about do it for our positional analysis this week. Next week is edge and defensive end guys. They'll move on to linebackers and then the secondary, and then we'll be done. And it'll be time for the draft, brother. I can't wait. Because Chris isn't here and he has a real job, we're not going to do trivia until Chris gets back. So that is going to put a wrap on us tonight for show 127, Drewster.
Yeah.
Once again, thanks for being the best co-host in the business, the smartest draft guy that makes me so much more knowledgeable on incoming NFL prospects. I learn a lot every single week. I say this every single week, but I truly mean it. I learn a lot with your big board on these guys. I'm going to go back and look up some of these dudes, especially the guys you put on Vikings Watch. Folks, please, if you would, like, subscribe, ring the bell, all that stuff you're supposed to do. Again, check us out over on Purple Pain Forums. And again, we will be live the first night of the NFL draft, Thursday, April 25th, as the Vikings more than likely try and secure their quarterback of the future. As for me, I'll try to do better the next time. Brother, take us home.
It's exciting times, Ted Glover. Exciting.
It is.
We are moving on. We have episode 127. Everybody like and subscribe. Ring the bell. I don't know what that means, but do it. And we are going to keep putting these shows out. We're going to keep doing our draft breakdowns and the free agents and position by position. That's the way to do it. You're watching shows that cover all positions in one show. They're not covering it right, I don't think. Also, Ted, I'm a bass player. And I watch football. I'm no draft guy. All these guys that do pods, they're just draft guys too. Nobody knows. It's all guesswork. You know what? There's a lot of guys working in the NFL, GMs and suits and ties and ex-players. Those guys know a hell of a lot more than we do.
The Jets? Really? The Jets know more than you? Really?
Well, there are some anomalies, Ted. Thank you for being the best host in the business. Thank you for doing that show tonight. I know you're tired. You've been on the road like 150,000 hours the last 3 days. Appreciate the gamer effort. We will see you folks next week. And remember, Vikings Report. It's football. It's fun. It's Vikings Report. Say goodnight, Ted.
Good night, Ted. Zero technique!